Why don't you head back to the dorm? Blake suggested. You have an early flight. No need to stay up late for me.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Farah and I are going to hang out here a little longer. Blake wanted some alone time with Farah before they left.
I can take a hint. Happy birthday.
Olivia hugged Blake and Farah.
If I don't see you before we leave, have an amazing Christmas.
You too.
Farah squeezed her friend tight.
Love you.
The rest of the group said their goodbyes and disappeared, leaving Blake and Farah alone. Finally. Blake wrapped his arms around Farah's waist. I thought they'd never leave. She laughed.
They're our friends.
Yeah, and they were cramping our style. Blake's stomach growled. Are you down for a second dinner? I'm getting hungry again. Walking around in the cold really burned off the calories.
I'm always down for food.
Great. There's an amazing Vietnamese place around here somewhere. It took a few wrong turns, but Blake finally located the tiny restaurant he'd stumbled onto a few months ago when his friends were in Thailand. The unassuming spot was tucked into a side alleyway across from a trinket shop. Leather booths lined the walls, wooden latticework, lush green plants, and amber wall sconces emphasized the intimacy of the small space, which, despite the late hour, buzzed with activity.
If I didn't know better, I'd think you were trying to seduce me, Farah teased.
She slipped off her coat and hung it on the wall peg near their table. Blake's dimples flashed. Is it working?
Oh, yeah. Wait till we get back to the dorm.
Farah's smile turned sly.
I have another birthday present for you.
Blake's blood heated. Despite his no-presents request, Farah had gifted him a beautiful monogrammed business card holder at dinner.
Because every successful business owner needs one, she explained.
He loved the card holder, but at the moment he was far more interested in the carnal possibilities flashing through his mind. Forget a second dinner. Blake tossed his napkin on the table and stood up. Let's skip to dessert. He had some creative ideas involving whipped cream and chocolate he'd like to put into action. Farah's silvery peal of laughter caused the other diners to turn their heads.
Oh, no. Sit down, she said. You can't tempt me with pho without following through on it.
Blake pouted. Damn. I can't believe you're choosing noodle soup over me.
To be fair, I'd choose noodle soup over almost anything. Except you.
Farah reached across the table and interlaced their fingers.
You know I'd go anywhere with you.
His heart melted into a pile of goo. It was scary how much power she had over him. And you know I can't deny you anything. He brought her hand to his mouth and brushed a kiss along the back of it. Especially not food. You're scary when you're hangry. Farah grinned.
I've trained you well.
What am I, a dog? She patted his hand with her free one.
A very hot dog, she giggled. See what I did there, hot dog? It's funny, she said when Blake raised his eyebrows.
Be glad I love you so much. Jokes that bad should be banned. Farah stuck out her tongue.
I'm only letting that slide because it's your birthday.
A harried waiter approached their table. They hadn't looked at the menu yet, but after a quick scan, Blake and Farah placed their usual orders for Vietnamese food. Pho with brisket and eye of round for her, grilled pork banh mi for him, and two summer rolls to share.
I'm glad we could celebrate your birthday before we left.
Farah rubbed her thumb over Blake's knuckles.
I hope you enjoyed it.
Today is the best birthday I've had in ages, because it's my first birthday with you. A year ago, Blake would have choked on the amount of cheese in those words. Now he didn't care. It was the truth. Blake's birthday wasn't until next week. Lucky him, his birthday fell 2 days before Christmas. But Farah insisted on celebrating before they returned home for the holidays. He'd nixed a big party, much to Courtney's disappointment, and settled for a group dinner at one of Olivia's fancy schmancy restaurants. Blake would have preferred beer and pizza at a casual joint, but the girls would have killed him. Farah sucked in a breath.
Who knew you were such a cornball?
He smiled, trying not to think about the fact he wouldn't see her in person again until late January. He couldn't believe the semester was over. 3.5 months had passed in the blink of an eye. If his life hadn't changed so much, he would have thought he'd just arrived in Shanghai,
Corn with extra cheese. That's me. Do me a favor and don't tell anyone. Her eyes sparkled with emotion. Your secret's safe with me. The waiter returned with their food. One bite told Blake it was as good as he remembered. 9 out of 10 on food recommendations. Farrah slurped the broth from her spoon. I'm impressed. 9 out of 10? Blake was insulted. What's the missing one?
That pizza place you took us to.
Which? Oh. Blake grimaced when he remembered the stale pizza crust and funky toppings from a few weeks ago. Fine, I dropped the ball on that one. But this should be good enough to make up for it.
Mm-hmm.
They ate the rest of their meal in comfortable silence. This was one of Blake's favorite things about his relationship with Farrah. With his past girlfriends, he had to put on a show and be as lively and charming as everyone expected him to be. This was true even with Cleo, whom he grew up with. With Farrah, he could breathe. It took them less than 20 minutes to polish off all their food. By the time they finished, Blake's stomach strained against his pants. He was so full he couldn't move. Maybe a second dinner was a bad idea.
I'm going to freshen up. Farrah scooted out of the booth. I spilled soup on my shirt.
It's okay. We'll get you out of that shirt soon enough. Blake laughed as Farrah whacked him on the arm. While she used the restroom, Blake paid the bill. No tipping culture in China, which took some getting used to, but which he now appreciated. After weeks of struggling to adjust to China's unfamiliar customs and way of life at the beginning of the semester, Blake had finally settled into a comfortable Shanghai routine. The noise and pollution didn't bother him so much anymore, and he even liked some of the foods he swore he'd never try. Turned out stinky tofu was quite delicious once you got past the stinky part. It was going to be weird going back to the States. Blake was already bracing himself for reverse culture shock, though it would be nice not to have to deal with squat toilets for a while. After Farrah came back from the restroom, they shrugged on their coats and walked to the nearest metro station. It was so cold their breaths fogged around their face every time they breathed.
Our last night, Farrah sounded wistful. It's been a wild ride.
Our last night in Shanghai this semester, Blake corrected. We have next semester. He couldn't wait. He missed his mom and his sister, but he wasn't looking forward to seeing his father. He liked his old man best when he was more than 7,000 miles away. Besides, a month without seeing Farrah was going to be torture. Sure, they had Skype, but it wasn't the same. On the other hand, Blake had always wanted to try cyber sex.
You're right, Farrah shook her head. I didn't mean to get all maudlin on your birthday. Let's talk about something else.
Like what we're going to do once we're back in the dorm? Blake wiggled his eyebrows. Fantasies of all the dirty things he and Farrah could do over video transitioned into fantasies of all the dirty things they were going to do in person. Fuck cyber sex. Nothing beat actual sex. Skin against skin, mouth against mouth, mouth against other parts of the body. Blake hardened until it was almost painful as a surge of lust rocketed through his veins. He eyed the overhead map, telling them how many stops they had left before they reached SFSU. 4. Fuck. That was 4 stops too long. Meanwhile, his arousal didn't go unnoticed. Farrah's eyes darkened with desire as she stepped closer until her chest grazed his. Even though there were several layers of clothing between them, Blake's body reacted like she'd stripped naked. If they didn't get off this damn train soon, he was going to lose it. Literally. It didn't help that Farrah started whispering things in his ear, things that had him ready to throw her on the floor of the train and take her right then and there, onlookers be damned. Fortunately, they arrived at their stop before he did something that'd have them arrested for public indecency. Farrah laughed as Blake grabbed her hand and pushed his way off the crowded train with the urgency of a man on his way to the emergency room for a life-threatening situation. In his case, the situation was blue balls. You think this is funny? Blake growled. Farrah's eyes sparkled with lust and amusement.
It's pretty funny.
The dorm came into view. Let's see about that. They made it to his room in record time. Blake kicked the door shut behind him and threw Farah on the bed, eliciting a small cry of surprise. He didn't waste any time shedding both their clothes. She watched, eyes bright with excitement as he rolled on a condom, and then he was inside her, driving deep with one hard stroke. Jesus. She was so damn tight and wet it drove him out of his mind. Control became a distant memory. Blake pounded into her, driven by mindless need and insatiable lust. Their first time had been long, sweet, and gentle. It was making love. This was fucking fast, rough, carnal. There was nothing gentle about it. Farah gave as good as she got, her hips slamming up to meet his, her nails raking down his back until they left red marks on his skin. Blake hissed in pleasure. He thrust harder, driven by lust and desire to bury himself so deep nothing could ever tear them apart. White-hot lashes of sensation whipped through his body, burning him, enveloping him in their heat until he felt her muscles tighten around him. He slowed his thrusts and chuckled at Farah's frustrated growl. Blake lowered his head to nip at her bottom lip. She whimpered in response. "This is for laughing at me earlier." Farah grabbed his hair and yanked his head back up so they were eye to eye. Pain and pleasure washed through him. "Blake Ryan, if you don't fuck me as hard as you can right now, I will never give you a blowjob again." Blake didn't think it was possible, but he hardened even more. Normal Farah was sexy. Aggressive Farah was a whole other level. Blake braced himself on the bed and resumed his thrusts, partly because he liked having blowjobs in his future, partly because he was going to come from her words alone. He increased his pace and force until he slammed into her so hard the headboard banged against the wall. Farah stiffened. Her nails dug deeper and she cried out, a long, keening wail as she exploded around him. Pain and pleasure mingled until Blake, too, came with so much force, stars speckled his vision. When they were finally sated, they collapsed, boneless, in each other's arms. "Happy birthday," Farah gasped. He muffled his laugh against her neck. "I think I lost a few brain cells. I came so hard." Blake mustered the energy to remove and dispose of his condom before sinking back into his admittedly lumpy bed. But with Farah beside him, it felt like heaven. "I know," Blake shook his head. "I set myself up for that one." Farah grinned and flipped over to straddle him. He was exhausted, but he perked up all the same. "Out of respect for your 22nd year on Earth, I won't make the joke. I do, however, think we should have one more session, since it's your birthday and all." "That's the best idea I've ever heard." Farah's hair spilled over her shoulders like black silk. Her sweat-slick skin glowed in the moonlight filtering through his curtains. She was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. Blake rested his hands on her hips. "I'm going to miss you so fucking much." "The break is only a few weeks." The tips of her hair brushed his chest as she took his mouth in a sweet kiss. "Like you said, we have next semester. It'll be like we never left." She sounded like she was trying to convince herself as much as Blake. "You're right." He rubbed his thumb over her warm satin skin, trying to imprint the sensation in his mind. "I'm always right." Farah fished a fresh condom out of his drawer and rolled it on before slowly guiding him inside her. Blake hissed out a breath. "Now, where were we?" She started moving, and Blake forgot all about tomorrow, yesterday, or how the hell he got here. The only thing that mattered was that he was here, right now, with her.
Spring semester. Chapter 23. "Oh my God, your hair!" Farah's mouth dropped open when she saw Olivia. The other girl touched her locks with a self-conscious hand. "Does it look stupid?" "No, It looks amazing. Olivia's once waist-length hair swung around her shoulders in a clean, simple bob. The new style enhanced her cheekbones and made her eyes pop. I love it. Thanks, Olivia beamed. I thought it would be more professional. The girls stared at each other for a moment before they closed the remaining distance between them and hugged. It's so good to see you, Olivia squealed. It's been forever. It feels that way. The LA suburb seemed so mundane after the excitement of Shanghai. Farah enjoyed the warm weather and catching up with her family and friends, but she missed FEA and Blake. Have you seen Chris? Not yet. You? Not yet. Farah helped Olivia haul her luggage up the stairs. Her arms strained with the effort. FEA needs to invest in an elevator. You think she's okay? She's fine. Olivia sounded unsure. It's Chris. The girls' hall was a mess of noise and bags. The dulcet tones of the latest pop hit drifted from Flo and Janet's room into the corridor. Charlotte tromped past, dragging a massive comforter behind her. All around, girls laughed and hugged and reminisced about their winter breaks, so excited they tripped over their words. FEA was back. Farah unpacked Olivia's toiletry bag while her friend tossed her clothing on her bed. Where's Sammy? I can't wait to see him. Farah missed his infectious laugh and good-natured jokes. He was the closest to a brother she ever had. He just landed. He'll be here soon. Olivia's eyes gleamed. She pointed her chin at something behind Farah. In the meantime, someone's here to see you. Farah spun around. She sensed who it was before her eyes confirmed her hunch. Hey, girls. Blake flashed his devastating dimples. Miss me? After 6 weeks of talking to him through a computer screen, Blake appeared larger than life. His lean, muscular body filled the doorframe. His pale blue shirt stretched across his broad shoulders and matched the color of his eyes. The same eyes that drank Farah in like a man dying of thirst in the desert. Hey, Blake, Olivia nudged Farah, who remained stock still while her heart melted faster than Italian gelato during the summer. Olivia upgraded her nudge to a gentle shove. It's Blake, she hissed. That did the trick. Farah regained control of her limbs and flew across the room into his arms. Blake caught her, his grip sure and strong. She buried her face in his neck and breathed in his crisp, familiar scent. I missed you, she said, too overcome with emotion for banter. I missed you so much. I missed you too. His warm breath tickled her skin. His mouth crashed against hers, their tongues tangling while her fingers dug into his arms. He tasted of hunger and desire, of longing, of love. He kissed her like his life depended on it. Farah sank into Blake's embrace. After weeks of waiting and wanting, this was better than she imagined. She raked her fingers through his hair, desperate to get, Blake and Farah groaned in unison. They tore themselves apart and peered at Olivia, who had unpacked in record time and was now color-coordinating her closet. Get a room, Olivia draped a strapless cobalt dress over a hanger. Your own room.
Are you kicking us out? Blake demanded.
Yes, I love you guys, but I don't want to watch you have sex.
Maybe you'll learn a thing or two,
Olivia gasped. Farah tried not to laugh. Don't be rude.
I'm not. Blake's grin was pure devilishness. I was merely posing a hypothetical.
Out! Olivia pointed at the door. Farah, dump this rascal.
She would never.
If she had to choose between me and you, who do you think she'd choose? Blake looked at Farah, who shrugged.
He raised his hands in surrender. I'm out. I'm out. I can tell when I'm not wanted.
I always want you. Farah entwined her arms around his neck. She could float off the ground, she was so happy. Blake's eyes darkened to sapphires.
Keep going.
Ah! Olivia hung her blue jumpsuit next to her blue dress. Disgusting!
Sounds like someone needs a visit from Sammy. This time, Farrah couldn't hold back her laughter. She dragged Blake into the hall and closed the door before Olivia hurled a shoe at his head. Don't provoke her. You came this close to getting impaled by a stiletto.
Nah, I have good reflexes. It's one of my many talents.
New year, same Blake.
You can't improve perfection.
This time, Blake was the one who pulled her down the hall. Your room is the other way.
Let's go to your room. Janice isn't back yet, is she?
Nope. Janice was never in the dorm. Farrah opened her door and flipped on the lights. It was clear which side was hers and which was Janice's. Janice's half of the space was standard dorm fare. No decorations, no personal touches, except for a Billie Eilish poster above her bed. Meanwhile, Farrah treated her space as a mini interior design project, albeit one on an extreme budget. She'd replaced FEA's scratchy white sheets with a cute gray and white polka dot set she found at a local market. It wasn't her favorite color combination, but it was the best she could find. Fortunately, she'd also snagged a gold throw pillow that jazzed up the look and matched the picture frames she brought from home. The various sized frames showcased some of her favorite memories. Farrah and her friends clutching their high school graduation diplomas. Farrah and her mom on her first day of college. Farrah standing in the middle of the first room she ever designed. A pro bono project for her neighbor's preteen daughter. Farrah and her friend Maggie eating pizza in Rome and cheesing for the camera. Blake picked up the pizza photo and chuckled.
This is a great picture.
It was a great day. Spring break, last year. While their friends partied it up in Cancun and Panama City, Farrah and Maggie escaped to Italy. It was Maggie's idea. She was a classics major and obsessed with all things Greek and Italian. It turned out to be the best decision Farrah ever made. Well, second best. It was weird. Italy felt like a lifetime ago. Farrah kept in touch with Maggie, but the Greek life drama and campus shenanigans Maggie complained about might as well be from another world. After a year abroad, junior year was going to be a major adjustment. Farrah pushed the thought out of her mind. She wasn't going to think about next year. Not when she had Blake here and an entire semester of FEA left.
Come here.
Blake sat on the edge of her bed and patted his lap. She curled up in his embrace, soaking up the familiarity like it was a breath of fresh air after being stuck in a windowless room for weeks.
Tell me about your break.
The deep timbre of his voice caused her to shiver with happiness. It was good. I ate a lot, caught up with friends, the usual. I told you everything exciting that happened. Skype wasn't the same as seeing each other in person, but it was better than nothing. Except for one thing.
Really? Blake's eyes sparkled with intrigue. What is it?
I'll show you. Farrah fished her sketchbook from her nightstand drawer at the same time. She flipped it open to her final design concept for the IDAA contest. I finished this over winter break and submitted my portfolio last week. Her pulse raced with nerves. That's it. That's out of my hands.
Holy shit, Blake breathed.
He brushed his fingers over the sketch.
Farrah, this is incredible.
After agonizing over the third design for months, Farrah woke up in the middle of the night with a crystal clear vision of what she wanted to do. She started sketching and didn't stop until she finished the entire thing, afraid to pause lest the inspiration leave her. Thanks. Farrah struggled to contain her grin. I'm really proud of it. She didn't bother trying to be humble, because she was proud of her work. It was one of her favorite designs, bar none. Farrah scrapped her earlier traditional hotel suite idea and shifted to island villa theme that leaned on natural colors, flowy fabrics, and open spaces. Soft, billowing curtains around the bed and draped across the ceiling. An open-air living room with an organic-shaped wood coffee table and natural fiber furniture. indigenous artwork and aqua accents that picked up on the pale blues of the sea. Interior design isn't about how a space looks. It's about how it makes you feel. Farah's villa may not exist in real life, but just looking at the sketch evoked a sense of freedom, adventure, and happiness. Hopefully, the Nita judges agreed.
I wish we were there right now.
Blake brushed his fingers over the sketch.
Just the two of us, on a secluded island, where nothing can touch us.
Maybe one day. Farah's stomach fluttered. Do you think I can win?
Are you kidding?
Blake brushed his lips over hers.
I'm no design expert, but I can tell this is something special. You will win. It's not a question.
She smiled at his confidence. You should have been a cheerleader instead of a football player. Blake broke into laughter.
You're right. I messed up.
Anyway, enough about me. How is Austin?
Fine.
He hesitated.
I've news, too. I found an investor for the bar.
Farah's jaw dropped. What? That's amazing. Who? How? Tell me everything. He chuckled at her giddiness.
Don't get too excited. It's my buddy, Landon. So it's not like I convinced a big-time businessman I don't know to invest. His family is huge in the hospitality world, and he came into half his trust when he turned 21. He's trying to show his mom he knows what he's doing, so we're going halves on the bar.
Blake grinned.
Plus, he's a great friend.
That's still incredible. Farah couldn't contain her excitement. She witnessed firsthand how hard Blake worked these past few months. She'd read his business plan. She saw the way his eyes lit up when he talked about the bar. His venture was going to be a success. She was sure of it. I'm so proud of you. Your family must be too.
I guess. My sister is. My mom's coming around. My dad is skeptical. He thinks the only thing I'm good at is football.
Despite his casual tone, Farah detected the hurt beneath his words. Anger flashed through her. She'd never met Joe Ryan, but she was going to give that man a piece of her mind when she saw him. Fuck your dad. He's trying to sabotage your dreams before you even get them off the ground. And I am not here for it. Blake's mouth quirked up into a smile.
You're adorable when you're angry.
I'm serious. She pounded the mattress with her fist. Don't let him do that to you.
I don't want to complain too much. Blake rubbed his thumb over her locket. I know I'm lucky my dad is still around.
Her anger melted away, replaced by an ache in her heart.
God, she loved this boy.
If you're worried about me, don't be. My relationship with my father was different. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to mend fences with your dad. He's still your dad. But do not let him discourage you. You're capable of great things, Blake Ryan. Don't forget that. Blake's eyes darkened with emotion.
I don't deserve you. You know that?
He pulled her in tight and rested his cheek on top of her head. Farah closed her eyes, soaking in the warm strength of his embrace. I know.
I love you.
There was a strange undercurrent in his voice, a shakiness that was not like Blake. Old Farah would have latched onto that minute detail and overanalyzed the heck out of it. But new Farah convinced herself it was her imagination. FEA was in session again. The group was united, and she and Blake were back together. It was going to be an amazing semester, and she wasn't going to waste it worrying about demons that didn't exist. I love you too. Their lips met in a tender promise. Blake felt the same, smelled the same, and tasted the same. Like rich, dark chocolate. Like sin and desire. Like the stars and dreams. He tasted like Blake. Her Blake.
Chapter 24. Blake felt like shit. He woke up with cotton mouth and a granddaddy of a hangover. Gatorade and a carb-filled breakfast helped with the physical symptoms, but he still felt like shit, and it had nothing to do with drinking too much whiskey. The urge to regurgitate that morning's junbing forced him to clamp his mouth shut until it passed, yet his stomach remained queasy.
"Whose bright idea was it to come here after last night?"
Luke flinched when the steel drummers banged their instruments. The sound pierced through Blake's head like a drill through drywall.
"It's the new year, Luke. Cheer up."
Courtney swung Leo's hand back and forth, giddy as a schoolgirl.
"New Year's was weeks ago."
"This is the Lunar New Year. Don't be so American."
Luke became grumpier.
"I am American. A hungover American."
"You're free to go back to the dorm anytime you want."
He fell silent. The group wandered through the crowded pathways of Yuyuan Garden. Everyone and their mother and father and grandparents and siblings were out in full force for the garden's annual spring lantern festival. Lanterns of various sizes, colors, and shapes hung from every imaginable perch, roofs, ceilings, doorways, balconies. Massive pig-themed installations served as an ode to the year of the pig and dazzled viewers with their sheer size and intricacy. There were activities for all kinds of attendees. Lion and dragon dances for the entertainment-minded, lantern riddles for the intellectually oriented, and traditional New Year sweets for the culinary-obsessed. Blake tightened his grip on Farrah's hand. It was his rock, the only thing keeping him from collapsing into a puddle of regret on the ground.
"God, I'm an asshole."
"How are you feeling?"
Farrah sidestepped an adorable toddler who was staring up at one of the pig installations in awe. Her mouth curved into a small smile before she turned to Blake, and her brow wrinkled in concern.
"We can go back to FEA if this is too much."
"No, it's New Year's. Besides, you want to see the fireworks."
"I've seen fireworks before."
"Really, I'm okay. I feel much better."
Blake squeezed her hand again, this time in reassurance.
"Okay, but if you don't feel well, tell me."
"Yes, Mom."
She scrunched up her nose.
"Don't call me that. It's creepy."
He laughed. Some tension eased. The rest remained, a lead ball of worry, self-loathing, and guilt that had plagued him for weeks. His mind flashed back to Landon's New Year's party over winter break. It did that a lot these days. Blake should have known better than to drink that much when Cleo was there. Granted, Blake could usually hold his alcohol. Until last month, he'd blacked out only once when he was a college freshman trying to keep up with his older teammates at his first frat party. The morning after the party, he woke up in the bathtub with penises drawn all over his face in black Sharpie. It was embarrassing and a bitch to get the marker off, but harmless. Waking up naked in a hotel bedroom with no recollection of the previous night while Cleo waltzed out of the shower, far less harmless. The urge to throw up rose again. Blake drew in a deep, shaky breath. He couldn't think with all the noise and commotion around him. That was probably a good thing. The group paused to watch one of the lion dances. The massive costumes were decorated in bright red and gold, the luckiest colors in the Chinese culture. Red for joy and good fortune, gold for fulfillment and good luck. There were two performers per lion, one to manipulate the head and one the tail. Their agility and coordination would make Blake's old football coach drool. Despite their heavy costume, the dancers twisted and turned and jumped from pole to pole with nary a stumble. The audience's gasps and applause drowned out the drums and cymbals in the background when the performers somersaulted off the 20-foot poles and nailed a rock-solid landing. Blake watched without watching. Any other time, he'd be right there with his friends, cheering the dancers on. But he couldn't shake what happened on New Year's, the American New Year's, out of his mind. Blake downed his drink and took in his surroundings. The Zinterhofer's duplex occupied the top two floors of their flagship hotel in downtown Austin. Blake had been here more times than he could count, but its magnificence never failed to impress. With its polished wood floors, floor-to-ceiling windows, and panoramic views of the city skyline, the penthouse was a far cry from the Ryan's comfortable but modest home in the Austin suburbs. Blake swept his gaze over the attendees. It was an eclectic mix of their high school friends and the Zinterhofer's rich associates. Landon was in the corner speaking with an older woman in a tight gown that showed off an abundance of cleavage. She touched his arm and laughed too loudly at something he said. Cougar Central. Blake set his empty glass on the bar and moved to rescue Landon from the cougar's grasp. He made it two steps when a familiar voice stopped him in his tracks.
Hey, Blake.
His throat went dry. He turned. Hey, Cleo. The two childhood friends stared at each other. It was their first time speaking since their breakup. He'd avoided her all night, damn Joy for bringing her. But seeing her there right in front of him made Blake's chest hurt. Their romantic relationship may not have worked out, but Cleo was a huge part of his life. They'd been friends since they could walk. He hadn't realized how much he missed her as a friend until now. It's good to see you. Blake ran a nervous hand over the back of his neck. You look great. Cleo's green dress matched the color of her eyes. Her skin gleamed beneath the lights, and her hair fell in glossy, dark curls past her shoulders. In fact, he noticed several guys checking her out from the corner of his eye.
Thanks. So do you.
There was an awkward pause. Cleo cleared her throat.
How's Shanghai?
It's great. Blake winced. That came out more enthusiastic than he'd intended.
Different, but yeah.
Another pause. He couldn't take it anymore. If he had to dance around the elephant in the room one more time, he'd scream. It was time to man up and look that damn elephant in the eye. I'm sorry about the way I handled things before, Blake said. And for being MIA since then.
You've been busy.
Cleo fiddled with her clutch.
I hear you're dating someone in Shanghai.
His jaw tightened. I am going to kill Joy. I am. This conversation was getting worse by the minute. Cleo, I care about you. You're one of my oldest friends. But we never worked as a couple. We both knew that. Cleo's cheeks paled. Her eyes swirled with a mix of sadness, resignation, and panic. No, that didn't make sense.
I know.
Her smile looked forced.
I don't blame you. You're a good person, Blake, and it was good while it lasted.
Relief fizzled through him. Yeah, it was.
Why don't we start over? Put everything behind us and toast to our friendship.
Cleo waved down the bartender.
Two shots of tequila, she ordered.
Blake's eyebrows shot up. Cleo rarely drank, and she hated tequila. Nevertheless, his relief outweighed his surprise. He could tell Cleo wasn't 100% over their breakup, but at least she was willing to try. She could have her pick of guys. She'd eventually move on, which meant his family would have to move on. A 2-ton boulder eased off his shoulders.
Here's to friendship.
Cleo raised her shot glass. To friendship. Blake clinked his glass against hers and knocked back the drink. He laughed at Cleo's grimace. We could have had something other than tequila.
It's fine.
She wiped her mouth with the back of her hand.
Let's do another one. For old time's sake.
Maybe we should pace ourselves. His suggestion was as much for his own benefit as it was for Cleo's. He should have eaten dinner before the party, but he lost track of time Skyping with Farah. Now his stomach turned at the thought of another shot. Cleo clucked her tongue.
Shanghai has made you soft.
Oh, hell no. Soft? Blake narrowed his eyes. Yeah, his head was starting to spin, but his reputation was at stake. Soft my ass. He turned to the bartender. Another round of shots. Make 'em double. The lion dance ended to enthusiastic applause from the crowd.
That was cool, Luke yawned. Let's get food. I'm hungry.
We literally ate like half an hour ago, Chris snapped.
We don't have to get a full meal, just snacks, Luke said in a conciliatory tone.
Blake expected the rest of the group to walk on eggshells around Chris, but Luke, that was a shocker. They pushed their way through the crowd toward the vendors selling Spring Festival snacks, such as steamed Nyangao cakes, glutinous rice dumplings wrapped in bamboo leaves, and various sweets. Blake followed Farah through the crowds, too lost in his thoughts to navigate on his own. Blake cracked his eyes open. That was a mistake. The sunlight pierced his retinas like lasers and intensified the pounding in his head. He slammed his eyes shut. A raspy groan filled the room. It took him a minute to realize it came from him. Where the hell was he? What day was it? Blake tried to piece together the events of last night, but all he could remember was arriving at Landon's party, drinking, arguing with Joy, drinking, talking to Cleo, drinking, and that was it. He couldn't remember the fireworks or what he did when the clock struck midnight. Blake groaned again. He turned on his side, so he faced away from the windows and tried opening his eyes again. Better, sort of. "I am never drinking alcohol again," he muttered.
"That's what you always say."
Blake jerked his head up and looked over his shoulder. The bright light hit him in full force, but it was nothing compared to the dread that slammed into his body when his eyes confirmed what his brain knew.
"Good morning, sleepyhead."
Cleo stepped out of the bathroom in a cloud of steam. Her damp hair fell past her shoulders in tight curls, a towel wrapped around her body, barely large enough to cover the necessary bits. "What are you doing here?" Blake's eyes adjusted to the light, and he realized he was in one of the Zinterhofer's suites. They always set aside a few rooms for guests who were too intoxicated to drive home after one of their New Year's parties.
"Showering, silly."
Cleo dropped her towel. He averted his gaze. She laughed at his reaction.
"Come on. It's not anything you haven't seen before."
He heard rather than saw her get dressed.
"You can look now."
"What happened last night?" The pounding in his head intensified. Blake rubbed his temple. "We didn't." "Did we?" He couldn't bring himself to say it. There was a pause.
"You don't remember?"
"If I did, I wouldn't be asking you." Blake bit his tongue. Hangovers made him moody as shit. "I don't remember anything after our third, fourth shot." Cleo blinked. Her eyes glowed bright green in the sunlight. A thousand emotions flickered over her face, too fast for him to discern a single one of them.
"We're friends, right?"
"Right." Blake tried to smile. The jackhammers in his head multiplied. "Think of all the friendship toasts we had yesterday." She half laughed, half snorted.
"Yeah. So you really don't remember what happened last night?"
Unease unfurled in his stomach. "No."
"That's too bad."
Cleo took a deep breath and looked down. The seconds ticked by. When she looked up again, her expression was almost apologetic.
"Blake, we slept together." "Earth to Blake."
Farah waved her free hand in front of Blake's face.
"Hello, anyone home?"
He snapped back to the present, but the guilt and nausea from that morning continued to churn in his stomach. "Sorry," he had to shout to be heard over the noise. It was close to fireworks time, and anticipation rippled through the crowd. "I was thinking."
"It's okay."
Farah patted his hand.
"I support you trying new things in the new year."
Blake side-eyed her. "Do you have to be a smartass all the time?"
"It's better than being a dumbass all the time."
He couldn't help but laugh. When he was around Farah, it was easy to forget anything else existed. Easy to pretend everything was fine when he wanted to fall to his knees and beg her forgiveness. He wanted to tell her what happened over New Year's, their first night back, but she looked at him with so much love and trust he knew he couldn't tell her. Not yet. Maybe not ever. What happened with Cleo was a one-time thing. There was no use destroying Farah and himself over a stupid mistake he didn't remember, right? The lead weight in his stomach grew heavier.
The fireworks are about to start.
Courtney rubbed her palms together. Her eyes sparkled with excitement.
We need to find a good spot.
Good luck.
Leo scooted closer to her to allow a young couple to pass.
This place is a zoo.
That's negative thinking, and I will not stand for it. We'll find a spot.
True to her word, Courtney shouldered her way through the crowd and squeezed them into a corner on the garden's zigzag bridge. She earned them plenty of dirty looks, but they were going to have a fantastic view of the fireworks.
Damn, Court, Sammy looked impressed. I could have used you during my holiday shopping.
Come to Seattle and I'm all yours.
Courtney leaned into Leo, who draped an arm over her shoulders.
I missed you guys. I'm so glad I'm here instead of back home.
Chris twisted her ring round and round her finger.
My dad and the stepmother-to-be can suck a giant bag of balls.
The rest of the group exchanged glances. Farah had filled Blake in on the drama. Chris's dad's fiancée convinced him to cut Chris off for irresponsible spending. It seemed their extravagant trip to Macau for Courtney's birthday was the last straw. He dropped the bombshell on Chris the day she returned home. Chris with a black Amex was grumpy enough. Chris without a black Amex, nuclear territory.
He'll cave. He always does,
Courtney reassured her.
You're his only daughter,
Olivia added.
Obviously, you take priority over his girlfriend. Ha! Tell that to him. She has him totally brainwashed, like she's that responsible with money. She owns like 20 Birkins.
Chris's lip trembled. She set her jaw and tossed her hair over her shoulder.
It's fine. When I'm home for the summer, I'm going to make my dad see what a pathetic gold digger she is. Their wedding won't happen. Not on my watch.
Let us know if we can help, Luke said. We can, I don't know, dig up dirt on her online?
Judging by the expressions on his friends' faces, Blake wasn't the only one who was surprised. Chris and Luke usually bickered more than an old married couple. Chris choked out a laugh.
Thanks, but I got it.
Did we enter the Twilight Zone?
Sammy clutched his heart.
You guys are acting like friends.
Yeah, right.
As if.
Chris and Luke spoke at the same time. They stared at each other sheepishly while everyone else laughed.
We've always been friends, all of us, no matter how much some of us bicker.
Courtney squeezed Chris's and Luke's hands.
Actually, we're more than that. We're family. And there's no one else I'd rather celebrate the Lunar New Year with.
The group looked around at each other. 9 college students from all over the U.S. brought together by fate or circumstance. They couldn't be more different. Some of them would have never been friends had they met anywhere else but Shanghai. Yet here they were, a family. In a place as crazy and ever-changing as Shanghai, they were each other's constants, the ones who had each other's backs. From overcoming culture shock to crazy nights on the town, they grew into this city together. And that was a bond only they could share. Despite the chilly air, Blake's skin warmed. It was almost enough to make him forget about the shit show that was the rest of his life. A screeching whistle quieted the crowds. Every head swiveled up. A few seconds later, the night sky exploded in a dazzling display of lights. The fireworks showered the dark canvas with sprays of brilliant color, bright gold, pale green, deep red, and every hue in between. Each time one closed, another bloomed, creating an endless, intricate dance that left the viewers on Earth breathless. Blake tore his gaze away from the spectacle to look at Farah. Ribbons of light flickered across her features as she gazed up at the show, her eyes bright with excitement and a smile of awe on her face. If he could have one wish for the rest of his life, it would be for Farah to be as happy as she was at this moment. Always. Blake's arms circled her waist from behind. He pressed his cheek against hers. Happy Lunar New Year, baby. Farah snuggled deeper into his embrace.
Happy Lunar New Year, Blake.
No one in the group said anything after that. They took comfort in each other's presence and watched the lights fire up the heavens, so bright they turned night into day, the dawn of a new year.
Chapter 25. February in Shanghai was miserable. The excitement of Lunar New Year soon faded, leaving behind rain, cold, and humidity. Classes were twice as hard, and the workload twice as heavy as the previous semester. Chris slipped further into a funk about her dad and losing her credit cards, and Blake was acting weird. There were days he seemed like his regular self, cocky, charming, ready with a smile and a quick quip. Other days he was moody and distant, like his mind was a million miles away. Every time Farah tried to figure out what was wrong, he changed the subject or distracted her with sex. Okay, so she let herself get distracted. But not today. Today she was going to find out what was going on, once and for all. Step one, bribe Blake with food. Sammy's freshly baked blueberry muffins smelled so good, Farah was tempted to eat them all herself. No, I can't. She had to save them for Blake. Like they say, the fastest way to a guy's secrets was through his stomach, or something like that. Before going to Blake's room, Farah swung by the girls' hall to change into something more enticing than leggings and a t-shirt. As Farah passed by Courtney's room, Leo's raised voice stopped her in her tracks.
I can't believe you kept that from me this whole time.
Her eyes widened. She'd never heard Leo yell before, not even when Luke spilled soy sauce on his favorite scarf. Farah clutched the muffins tighter. Blake's modern Chinese history class was going to end any minute now, but morbid curiosity compelled her to step closer to Courtney's door. She heard everything her friends said through the thin walls. It's not a big deal. Courtney sounded defiant. We kissed once, but Nardo and I are friends, that's it. It took Farah a moment to register what Courtney said. When she did, she gasped. Did Courtney hook up with Nardo? What the fuck? Who would hook up with Nardo when they had Leo? Courtney and Leo must have heard her gasp because they fell silent. Shit. Before Farah could leave, the door swung open, revealing a pissed-off Leo. Behind him, Courtney stared at her with huge eyes. Hi, Farah said weakly. She held up her bag of treats. I brought muffins.
I was just leaving. Leo brushed past her. Enjoy the muffins.
What the hell happened? Farah asked once Leo was out of earshot. Her mind spun. Leo and Courtney were the bedrock of the group, the first couple, even if they insisted they weren't dating. Their relationship was part of the fabric of FEA. We got into a fight. No, really? Courtney glared at her. Can we lay off the snark? Sorry. Farah stepped into the room and closed the door. So, I heard something about Nardo? To her credit, Courtney didn't bat an eye at the realization that Farah had been eavesdropping. She looked down and scuffed her shoes on the floor. We made out at the full moon party. Farah gasped again. Holy shit. Her mind's eye rewound to that night. It was a blur of music and alcohol and dancing beneath the stars. But she remembered Courtney and Nardo being gone for a while. Back then, it didn't seem like a big deal, but now? I thought you guys were in the bathroom for a long time. There was a long line, and it's not like we had sex. We only kissed. Farah pinched her temple. She had so many questions, she didn't know where to start. Why did you kiss him in the first place? Out of all the guys in the program, Nardo was the last person she'd expect Courtney to cheat on Leo with. Not that she expected Courtney to cheat at all. Nardo was pretentious, insufferable, and not even that cute unless you're into the preppy hipster type. Meanwhile, Leo was smart and kind and beautiful and, well, better in every way. I don't know. Courtney sighed.
I was drunk and pissed at Leo about our fight earlier that day, and Nardo was looking at me like he would never say the things Leo said to me. The kiss just happened. It's a shitty excuse, but that's the truth. She looked down again. It was a one-time thing. It's not like we were having an affair this entire time. Nardo and I don't even like each other like that. The kiss confirmed it. Farrah was torn. A part of her knew Courtney was wrong for cheating on Leo. That was the one thing she'd never tolerate in a relationship. Cheating. It wasn't about the physical act. It was about the trust. Once broken, it was hard, if not impossible, to mend. Still, Courtney was one of her closest friends. She brought Farrah chicken soup when she was sick, held her hair when she had too much to drink, and was always a call or text away when shit went south. Sure, she was bossy and entitled, but she had a good heart. She was also the core of the group. If Farrah had to choose between Courtney and Leo, she knew who she'd choose. 100%. So why'd you tell Leo now? She asked. She tried to keep her tone as non-judgmental as possible. Thailand was a long time ago. I wasn't going to, but my aunt said something. Courtney gnawed on her lip. It's not important. Anyway, I couldn't keep the secret any longer, and I thought enough time passed that he'd hear me out. I was wrong. Farrah's head spun, trying to figure out what this meant. So, are you and Leo over? Most likely, Courtney smiled weakly. We were never really together anyway. Not the same way you and Blake or Sammy and Liv are. Leo and I both knew whatever we had wasn't going to last after FEA. That's not true, Farrah argued. Except, looking back in hindsight, it was true. She'd inflated Courtney and Leo's relationship in her mind when she had a crush on him, because even the slightest interest from one of her friends in a guy she was interested in was a huge obstacle in her mind. But now that she was no longer interested in Leo, she realized how casual Courtney and Leo's relationship had been, at least compared to the others in the group. He's still pissed about you and Nardo. That counts for something. I suspect that's his ego talking more than anything else, Courtney sighed. Don't get me wrong, I like Leo a lot, but we're not endgame. He'll cool off, and we'll go back to being friends. I hope. She bit her lip. That's what I'm worried about most. I don't want the group to fall apart when we only have 3 months left. 3 months. Panic inundated Vera's system. She repressed thoughts of what might happen after the semester. But Courtney's words brought all her fears to the surface. Once FEA ended, that was it. The group would scatter to their respective home bases in the U.S. and see each other. When? Once a year, if they were lucky. Until enough time passed and study abroad was nothing more than a faint memory. Farrah's chest heaved at the thought of never seeing her friends again. Sure, there was social media and Skype, but it wasn't the same as hanging out in person. Would the group remain as close as they were now if they didn't see each other every day? Doubtful. There was also Blake. She lived in California. He lived in Texas. Over 1,000 miles separated them back home. And while Farrah knew people who'd been in long-distance relationships, she couldn't think of any that lasted. She didn't realize she'd reached for her necklace until the metal dug a groove into her palm. We're not going to fall apart, Farrah said. We can't. I hope not, Courtney's lip wobbled. I just wanted us to be a family. I can't stand the thought of ruining things again. Again? That didn't make sense. The group hadn't had any major issues so far. But the sight of a teary-eyed Courtney was so strange, like seeing a lion run wild in the streets of Manhattan, that Farrah didn't have a chance to dwell on her friend's choice of words. She also didn't dwell on why Courtney seemed more upset about the group breaking apart than she did about her breakup with Leo. It was strange. Courtney was the bubbliest, most outgoing person in the group. But she was also the least forthcoming about her personal life. Even Chris shared more than she did. It wasn't something you noticed until you really thought about it. Because Courtney did such a good job of glossing over ugly realities and papering them with bright, shiny wallpaper. You won't. Like you said, Leo will cool off and things will go back to normal, Farrah said. She didn't push Courtney for clarification on what she meant by again. She knew, better than anyone, that some secrets weren't meant to be shared. In the meantime, I have muffins from Sammy. She raised the bag as proof. Guaranteed to make you feel better or your money back, no questions asked. Courtney laughed. She dabbed a tear from her cheek and tossed her hair over her shoulder. Give me those, Farrah did. She and Courtney spent the night binge eating and watching K-dramas. And it felt so nice and comforting that Farrah almost forgot about Blake's strange behavior. She still needed to talk to him, but that could wait. Courtney needed her now.
Chapter 26.